From the Terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Good evening and welcome to another From the Terraces. Thanks very much to Polish Waves for the last hour. We've got Mark, we've got Ollie and we've got Matt in the studio. We've got Steve on the phone and hopefully we've got Robbie and Lance on the phone as well. It was a bad day for United, but first bad day in a while, but a very bad day for United. 3-1 loss at the Abbey Stadium against actually quite a good Swindon side. City managed to play a game and win it, 2-1 away at Uxbridge. And Histon had a great midweek performance and then didn't do quite so well against them. We were trying to work out, Pakeley and Kirkfield or Kirkley and Pakeley? We'll come back to that one later on. A nil or draw there. And we'll also be talking about the women's football when Ollie finds out about it later on. So you can get in touch with us, all the usual ways to do that. You can text us 07919 070490, that's 07919 070490. Or you can email studio at cambridge105.co.uk. So if you do want to get in touch with us, if you've got anything to say about any of the football this weekend or indeed anything else centred around the football, then feel free to contact us. And we'll start, as we usually do, with Cambridge United. Okay. So, Matt, we were rubbish.
and that's the politest term that you could have used. Yeah, it was a disgusting performance, really and truly. You know, the weather was cold, and for somehow the 5,000 fans that turned up yesterday, and it didn't feel like 5,000 were there, to stand there and watch that yesterday was really, really bad. And yeah, it showed up a lot of shortfalls that we've still got in our squad, and you know, how far we've got to go. Yes, you know, people might point out the weather, but the weather's not particularly much of an excuse. You've got to put in the performances, and unfortunately a lot of them just didn't put in performance at all yesterday. And you know, the debate goes on about who should be the next manager and all of this, and I think that's probably proved to me that Joe Dunn probably shouldn't get the job now.
Okay, we'll come back to that one. So the first point you made about where we're still deficient in the squad, the interesting thing is, though, I mean, we've had some really good games since Dunn took over, where you look at the squad and you think, finally, it looks like they're performing to what they should be performing on paper and what we've always talked about. You know, I mean, you talked about above mid-table, round about 12th position would be the finishing position, and it looks like you're hopefully going to be round about right. I thought yesterday it was definitely one of those cases where, okay, we'll come back to the diamond, and that might be that we'll investigate that a bit further. But as far as the players, I think there was very little that Joe Dunn could do, because I think they just played badly. I think they didn't play as well as we've seen them in the previous six games under his control, where he's got some great results out of them. This week they just didn't look. I mean, he called it. They just said they lack buzz. They just weren't there. They didn't seem up for the game in quite the same way. They didn't run around as much. They were Swindon, to be fair, closed them down and hurried them off the ball. They made many, many mistakes because they were pressured into it. But they just didn't seem to be up for it in the same way. Every time the ball went free, we weren't the ones picking it up. Whereas previously, every time that happened against Luton and Wickham towards the end, we were the ones that were picking the ball up and putting the pressure back. So, you know, I think yeah, everyone can have an off day, and we seem, this is one, the one feature of the Cambridge game is we're united in having off days together. So it's not like one player has an off day, it seems like the entire team has an off day. And we were talking about Giovanni Brown, just seems to have lost a little bit. Uche, bless him, tried as hard as he could, but just didn't seem to get anything working for him. We failed to look right to Halliday and Amu, and it was just, you know, I think it summed it up that David Amu, who was on the pitch for 20 minutes, got the man of the match award for me.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, you know, as I say, for me, you know, one of the things the manager's job is doing is, if the players are flat, is to get the players G'd up. Now, you know, sometimes it takes a bit of a spark. You know, have you got to change personnel, which I think Joe done, and I think we all agreed here, probably should have done at half time after the first half performance. You know, you've got to G it up a little bit, and you know, a good coach. Unfortunately, we were out coached yesterday. We were out fought. We were out thought, and at times we were just sort of outplayed. You know, Swindon. You know, I think if you're a Swindon fan, you think that was a fantastic away performance. They played really well yesterday, and you know, there still wasn't much of a difference. If we go back to when we played them in sort of September time, I don't think there's still that much of a difference, but they just have that little bit more know-how, a little bit more new. You know, they got the first goal, and then they kind of slowed the game down a little bit. They went to the dark arts, which we all know quite well about after last week at Wickham.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of that, a lot of time slowing back. It was all controlled. You know, Swindon were absolutely in control. You know, even when we got pulled the goal back from Uche, and you thought, oh, here we go, we can have a bit of it. It never felt like we were ever going to give it a massive go.
And that was the interesting thing, because if you when we went down against Luton, when we went down against Wickham, we were saying this, that we actually felt like we still stood a chance. But yesterday, when we went that first goal down, I knew we'd lost at that point. It wasn't like we were going to come back from it, because we were just playing so badly that it never looked. I mean, of the three goals, I mean, the first goal, I think, was defensively we were very poor. The second goal, I mean, it was a great goal, but again, defensively we didn't pick. But there was a sniff of offside, but I think even Joe Dunn said in the end he didn't think it was. So, and then the third goal, I mean, you're chasing a game, you're going to get, but it was a poor penalty to give away. You just stuck his foot out and let him run onto it almost. So you look at it, and I think where we'd lost before in the Accrington game, as he said, that was a positive performance, even though we lost. And we did come away thinking, you know, we should never have lost because it was a refereeing decision. But we weren't, you know, we weren't as upset by it, because, you know, it was literally we played as well as they did, if not better, and just got nothing out of it because of a poor refereeing decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think yesterday for all the referees in Neptune's, and there was plenty of them yesterday, you know, you can't point the finger at the refereeing performance this time. It was our own undoing. And, you know, I haven't said this for a long, long time, but, you know, Brad Halliday was at fault for the first and the third goal, because he got beaten far too easily for the first goal. And then what he's doing, making a challenge like that in the box for their penalty, for their third goal, is beyond me. And after he's done that before, and I can't think of the team, but he's done it at home before. And made a rash challenge like that. So, you know, it's something that is in this game that, you know, might, as long as it doesn't become too much of a habit, he needs to get under control. But yeah, we just weren't at the races yesterday. As I say, we were just really, really sloppy. And, you know, a few of them probably could count themselves unlucky to not have got, you know, Paul Lewis, you know, probably would have been on cloud nine after scoring a, you know, last minute equaliser last week. You know, perhaps does he deserve a bit of a go after that? You know, what was it going to cost us yesterday? You know, obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing. This situation with David Amu, I think we all agree here, so there's got to be something, you know, something about him, because he just doesn't seem to be able to start a game. Now, is that just because they see him as an impact player or anything?
So, this, I mean, we talked about this. At the moment, presumably because of injuries and managing his time, they don't see him as a 90-minute player or even a 60-minute player. They see him as an impact sub. Hopefully that'll change, because he does make a huge difference. Absolutely. But you look at it and you think it makes a difference because he comes on and we change from the diamond, and that seems to be what really sets that makes the difference. Not necessarily Emu, although Emu does it, the other interesting thing is, you know, we left it really late for all of the substitutions yesterday, and I really don't understand, because everyone in the crowd could say, I know we're all armchair managers or terrace managers and we're all great at it, far better than anybody you could put in charge of the team, really, but it was kind of obvious it wasn't working. And you do think, you know, we're all watching the same game, you're far more knowledgeable than us about the game, but, you know, we can see what's going wrong and what you need to do about it. And he didn't even do it at half time after such an abject performance in the first half. He waited till beyond 60 minutes before he did anything about it, which I thought was just very weird. Very, very Derry-esque in terms of what he was doing. And in fact, Lynchy says, yesterday was my first game back since returning from holiday, and if I didn't know that Derry was gone, I'd have still thought he was in charge with that abysmal performance. Seriously, to get rid of the stupid diamond formation, as it's costing us points and poor performances. Again, it was so noticeable with the lack of width. I feel so sorry for our fullbacks, as they seem to have to cover every position down each side of the pitch, and it's making them perform badly. I've lost count the amount of games now where it's obvious we're going to be awful with the diamond formation, then 20 to 30 minutes from the end we bring on a winger and start to look dangerous again. It just shows how bad we were when Emu gets man of the match with a cameo performance. It makes a really interesting point at the end. Nothing against Sir David Ford, I think he's played of the season and we'll give him another year, but as the season is dead, why don't we give Mitov a run of games now until the end of the season? That's an interesting idea, because we haven't, I think, two or three Caribou Cups is all we've seen him for, plus the warm-up before every game, where sometimes he looks, I shouldn't say this because it's really unfair, but he looks awful sometimes in those warm-ups. So it would be interesting to see him play, and you'd think that would be a good time now, because we're not, you know, realistically, whatever people would like to believe, you know, we're not chasing a playoff spot. So, you know, why don't we play him? It'd be interesting to see if that's something they do a little bit closer to the end of the season. I got an email from Keith. Keith, if you're listening, my phone's run out of charge, so send it to studio@cambridge105.co.uk and we'll read it out. Unfortunately, I haven't got it with me, so I can't do that unless you send it to, say, studio@cambridge105.co.uk. So the diamond formation, I mean, Joe Dunn's made it clear that he's a fan of the diamond formation. So it isn't kind of just a hangover from the days of Derry, and he doesn't want to do much tinkering because it's too late in the season. But in exactly the same way as Derry, if it works, then we look good, and it tends to work against the teams that are not as good as us. When we're playing against teams that are as good or better than us, we seem to do much better when we switch from the diamond out to a more traditional wide formation. Although sometimes, and I don't know whether it's because they're so drilled into playing the diamond, it's like blinkers on the people at the back. They don't see the wide players, and you see Emu was in acres of space from time to time, and they just couldn't play it out to him. But you know, I suppose if they played it more, and it does seem to work better.
Yeah, I think we kind of stumbled upon this diamond formation by accident under Derry, and it got us a few home wins. And again, it was against the lesser lights. It wasn't against a good team. It was against a few of the poorer sides. And then suddenly, for some unknown reason, this was it. You know, we're stuck with it, and the personnel's not right for it. You can see that. You know, people like Maris and O'Neill are, well, statues on the football pitch, I'm not going to lie. They don't do anything. They don't offer anything. And, you know, as good as Brad Halliday and Harrison Dunk are going forwards, you know, that takes a lot out of you. You have to keep going up and down and up and down for 90 minutes, which is where, with the wingers, you know, I've always said, like, Harrison Dunk should play left wing because that's his best position. And you look at some of the crosses he put in yesterday when he was in that forwards attacking left-hand side position. If we had somebody in the box to get on the end of it, we'd have scored quite a few. You know, we'd have been sort of level at some point, and we see it time and time again. But the problem is, as I say, we don't seem to work hard enough with this diamond formation. The midfield just doesn't seem to work hard enough at times. We've spoke about it before. You know, Giovanni, just, you know, he is a good player. We know he's a good player, but he seems to have just gone off the boil recently. maybe, you know, he's been watched a few times and teams have got sort of hold of how he plays and, you know, the way he plays. And, you know, sometimes perhaps he's just got to reinvent himself and do something a little bit different. But he's, you know, he's not as influential on the ball as he normally is. And, you know, it's hard for us. And as you said, Uche, yeah, he tries hard. Billy Waters huffs and puffs. But, like, for me, that one chance that he had yesterday, he probably should have scored with it, yeah. You know, and should have gone across the goalkeeper. So he's not this sort of natural goal scorer that we were promised in January. Don't get me wrong, you know, he tries hard, and out of a lot of them yesterday, at least he was running for most of the game trying to do something.
You could never fault his effort.
No, exactly. And that's the good thing is, you know, he was putting in the effort, even though it wasn't happening for him yesterday. And I just think he's better coming off the wing or something, getting out of fullback, because the fullbacks would absolutely hate him running at them. You know, the problem is we're just not flexible enough at times. We just don't seem to have any kind of fluidity in our formation, our tactics. You know, if a diamond doesn't work out, we have to wait 60 minutes before we decide we're going to change something, you know. And that's where we get done by a lot of teams, because if they see that something's not working, they'll change it straight away. But it just seems to be inbred into us at the moment.
Yeah, I think you make a good point about the dunk as well on the left-hand side, because yesterday Swindon showed that Matty Taylor on that left and Hussey, the left-back, were dynamic. They were brilliant down that left-hand side. And if you've got a natural left footer like Duncan, a left back behind him, it just shows what we can do. And Halliday and Amu on the right hand side as well. I mean, that's a pretty dangerous winger and full back combination on both sides.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see when Mingoy is finally back to fitness and playing. Is you kind of a bit stuck then, because you can't play him in the diamond formation. You're going to have to. So are we then going to play more of the traditional width? And if we can get Amu working for more than, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour of a game, then that would be a good formation to go with the two of them on the wings. So Keith has emailed in. Thanks very much, Keith. Says, with the exception of Greg Taylor, who is his usual colossal self, I won't tell you what Matt's doing now, we were really not at the races on Saturday. Our usual top players were off the boil. I refer to Halliday and Ford. I don't hold them responsible for the result, but Halliday made errors for two goals, which we talked about, and Ford looked uninterested in trying to save the penalty. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't see.
Watch it back. He didn't. Particularly fuss about it going in.
We'll talk about it, because I was objecting to it. But, Ford at least three times absolutely dropped his fullbacks into him playing short balls, and then he shouted at them when they lost the ball. Well, you did play the stupid, almost a hospital pass, two of them. I would, along with the many others, blame our formation, which, despite not working, is still our chosen setup. The diamond makes us far too narrow. We don't have enough quality in the midfield to make it work. I do wonder why we don't try something different now that we're realistically safe from relegation. And that goes along with the point with Mitov, is that now is the time to try a few things out, because if we lose, we lose. At least we get to see what we can do. I'd like to see us set up with wingers from the start, and with a striker, ideally Jabbo, that can get his head in the end of a cross. This tends to be what we revert to when the diamond fails. If we swapped it round, we could be 3-0 up and cruising at 70 minutes. That would be interesting. We could then send on O'Neill, Maris and Alito to run around in circles in the middle and run the clock down.
Yep.
Oh dear. Lack of change leads me to believe that Dunn's unlikely to be the man to take us forward. If he wants the job, he should say so now. I'd like to know who's going to take charge of negotiating contracts with the current squad. Well, presumably that'll be Strang and Daniels will be the ones doing that. And who will be spending any summer transfer cash that might be available. Does Dunn have any experience of this, or did you just want to be a coach? I expect the latter. He doesn't strike me in his interviews as someone who wants to be in the limelight making big decisions. I'll come back to that after this. If a new face is coming in, will he be prepared to work alongside Dunn? If the club have someone in mind, wouldn't it make sense to introduce him to the players, as many are out of contract at the end of the season and their decision to stay or go might depend on who's in charge? We face a season in 2018-19 where we might have an entirely new squad, and unless there's suddenly a large injection of cash, which we already know there is going to be no windfall, Paul Barry's made that clear, into the playing budget, I can't see us being an attractive proposition for players joining us, not good ones anyway. Some interesting points. Joe Dunn's, I mean, we'll listen to his post-match in a minute, but he has made it, he's consistently avoided the question about taking the job. He talks about, you know, playing game by game, and that's not what we should be focusing on now. All the cliches come out. I would be surprised if he doesn't want it, because you know he's got ambition. He's stepped up to temporary management before. Whether he wants to be a coach or a manager, I don't know. But I would be very surprised if he hasn't got the ambition to want to take it on. It would be interesting if he doesn't get it or doesn't step up for it, who do we get in? Because now Phil Brown's joined Swindon, you know, who else is out there that you'd want, you know, and especially at this time of year, any decent manager will not leave a club that he's about to do something with, hopefully, at the end of the season, unless you're prepared to offer shed loads of money for him. If a new manager came in, would he want new backroom staff? Would he insist on bringing them? So would Dunn and Bonner be out of jobs, or would, you know, what would happen? It'd be interesting to see, because it would be a shame if Dunn doesn't take over. It'd be a shame to lose him completely, because I think he's done well for the club in the roles he's done, even if he doesn't want to actually take on the management role. But it'd be interesting to see. The squad next year, I mean, we talked about this 2 or 3 weeks back, the number of players that are out of contract and the number of players who potentially we might get offers for could mean that, you know, this season was never really going to be the issue. It was going to be next season when we start with a brand new squad, because we lose a whole load of players, which could be the more difficult part.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? As we keep alluding to, it's a case of a catch-22, and the problem is there doesn't seem to be a lot of noise coming from the football club in terms of what we are going to do. They seem quite happy to see it through to the end of the season, which, unfortunately, you know, if we've got any ambitions for next year, you can't particularly do, because, you know, people will start talking to players pretty much as soon as the season's finished, you know, in May. And, you know, we need to be on the ball, because... you know, and I agree with Keith, if not, we're going to be struggling pretty badly. You know, we want to probably sign up what we consider our better players, you know, as a core for next season. There's plenty of sort of fringe players / statues that can go out and, you know, bring in a bit more wage money. Sooner the better for some of them, but hey, you know, we'll see. But there's probably one or two as well that might deserve, might want another chance. You know, a new manager might give them a little bit of a boost. You know, coming in with, if it is Joe Dunn, then, you know, just make him the manager now, if that's what they're going to do, and then let him sort out, say to Ben Strang, if he is sorting out the contracts, okay, these are the players I want signed up that we've got now. And these are the kind of players, if he wants to just be head coach like Derry was, these are the kind of players I want from my team next year that's going to make us a lot better than what we are. Because, you know, next year, potentially, you know, looking at who's coming down and who's coming up at the moment, obviously it's hard to tell in sort of non-league football because they're all like beating each other, apart from Macclesfield at the top, aren't they? So Macclesfield are probably about the safest ones to come up, and they're rubbish anyway. So, you know, it's probably going to be one of the weakest leagues. You know, if you get rid of Luton and you get rid of a Wickham or a Notts County, and hopefully, touch words, you know, hopefully, well, Accrington Stanley look like they've probably won the league somehow. You know, you get rid of three of them, and then you probably want to hope the fourth is somebody like Coventry, you know, a big spending club. After that, the teams coming down from League One aren't particularly great shakes. You know, Bury have been dead and buried for about 2-3 months now. MK Dons are rubbish, thank God. And then, you know, it's a fight for the other two places at the moment. So it's not going to be a strong league next year. There's going to be places up for grabs. And, you know, at the end of the day, we need to be in a position where if we want to be serious about going forward and getting up into League One, like, the boardroom keeps saying,
yeah,
then, you know, we've got to get the right players in, and we've got to have it done very quickly. And it will cost, unfortunately, it will cost some money. So,
yeah,
unless we've got some sort of Scottish world-class player coming in again next year.
Yeah, we've had them this year.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Well, Amu's okay. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
But, I mean, that's the problem is that if, you know, depending on what happens, especially if, and this is why I kind of, in a way, if Joe Dunn is good enough to take the job on, that would be the most sensible option anyway, because then we're not paying money for a manager, therefore it frees up money for players. And I'd rather spend money on players than managers, really, to be honest, because I don't think there's anyone who, you know, that isn't already in a job they're going to stay on with that would necessarily make a big difference. I mean, there's loads of names get touted around, some of them ridiculous, some of them quite sensible, but you're not going to be able to afford them, so it's kind of like a bit of a waste of time discussing them. One of the things we haven't done is we haven't listened to what Joe had to say after the game. So let's listen to Joe Dunn following the actual game.
Woodrow, a frustrating afternoon.
Oh, yeah, it was. Unfortunately, it was probably a game too many in this incredible run of games that we've had against the top sides. And Swindon came and did a really good job. And, you know, it was always going to be difficult to keep that momentum and keep it going. And we didn't start the game particularly well. And we kind of lost our way a little bit. And obviously, they scored at a good time. And then it became a bit of a scrappy game, which we felt we could manage because we've done that in previous games. But I think the killer was the second goal. You know, and the second goal we spoke about, not giving away free kicks with Taylor's quality on the ball. It's a great ball in, and maybe one or two questions about being offside, but we've looked at it back, and it's a great free kick, and it's a good goal. And I think that really completely took the wind out of ourselves.
Few chances from United point of view in the first half, just the one to Billy Waters.
Yeah, we didn't create too many today. We had a period in the second half where there was probably one or two more just to get back into the game, and then we had that momentum, and then obviously the penalty didn't help. But yeah, it was that kind of game. It was tough. It was hard. But like I said, it was against a really tough team, and we've played many tough teams, and we just ran out of steam on this one, I'm afraid.
Yeah, Swindon didn't really let you get the sort of tempo you like.
Yeah, for sure. They did a great job. Obviously worked on it in the week, and that's why they are where they are. That's why we tried to keep this momentum going, and unfortunately it was a day too far. And I won't fault the players. You know, they've done magnificent on this run of games that we've had, and unfortunately today we've come out at the wrong side, and also performance wise we were a little bit below par as well. So but we'll pick ourselves up and go again.
Hasn't helped, I guess, the build up trying to find time for
training. That's not an excuse. No, that's not an excuse for today's game. We've done that before, and we've come okay. It just we just didn't. There were periods in the game today where we really just didn't get going. We didn't ignite the crowd, and you know that was that's been important in recent games, and it was a real business job by Swindon, and they did well today, and I've got no complaints really about the result. Having lost, it was always going to be tough, and we've got to go again.
Got yourself that little lifeline towards the end. Good finish, actually, from Shayok Pien.
Yeah, it was a good finish. Again, it's the timing of bringing David on. I know the frustrations are that maybe he can play longer, but it's something that we have to manage, you know, to get the best quality out of him, and we've done that in recent games, and he gave us the ball in. It was the ball in again today, and it was a good finish by Uche. Smart finish on the ground. But, you know, we didn't create much for Uche today, and we didn't create much, and a lot of it. Look, the lads tried, but unfortunately, it was we just kept running down blind alleys, and in the end, they caught up with us.
Changed the side today, just that little bit of a change, different emphasis perhaps in us.
Yeah, the emphasis was different. It was about moving the ball quicker, being a little bit faster, like we have been at home. We just didn't get that. We didn't get that momentum, and we lacked a bit of movement. We lacked a bit of oomph, really, and you know, it was. When we have that in our play and in this team, things can be hard for us. But when we're like energetic and buzzy and bouncy, and we're a different side. And today we were the opposite. And unfortunately, that at some stage was going to happen. To keep the consistency of performances was always going to be tough. And you know, it was a bad day in the office.
It's taken a while to have that bad day on the office.
Yeah, we'll look at it. We'll try and make improvements. No fault to the players. They'll always try and do the right things. So professional with how we have to do things at the moment. And, you know, no complaints about the result. Did we want a bit more? Yeah, for sure. Are we disappointed? Of course we are. But we pick ourselves up and move on. You know, we've played, is it 7, lost 2, 1-3, drawn 2-3. I can't remember. Quick math isn't very good at the moment. But we have to go again. We have to learn from it and go again.
And that's the key, isn't it? Reacting to this and pushing on again.
Yeah, it's a defeat. You know, it's a defeat at home. It's the defeat away at Accrington was a positive performance, and the defeat at home today was a little bit ugh, you know. And that's probably the disappointing thing about the lot. If you're gonna really make an opposition work hard to beat us, and didn't feel we did that today. But I can't complain about since I've stood in the dugout, how hard they've worked and how well they've done. And today was just one game too far. And unfortunately, we've licked our wounds and Millwall.
Joe, not the St Patrick today you would have liked.
Oh, well, you know, I'm a long way from home and unfortunately not. You know, the team. I have to keep paying a lot of credit to the team. They keep trying. They're disappointed in there, but next week, you know, is another game and another day. And tomorrow, as I said, we'll start working on it and keep going.
Yeah, it was a bad day at the office. That probably just about sums it up, wasn't it? A bad day at the office. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week, is what we do after the bad day at the office this week. I mean, we will recall the terrible 7-0. That 7-0 day at Luton, and then we came back from that quite strong the following game, and it'd be interesting. I think he's got to come back. He's got to show that he can pick the team up and come back if he's going to continue on his road, hopefully, to presumably for him getting the head coach job. So Carlisle away. I'm away for the weekend, so I'm not going. Matt, you can't get the day off the following day, so you're probably not going. Ollie's not going, so it's just, yeah, it's a massively long trip. You kind of want to pace yourself on the away. You've earmarked Newport as your long distance travel, but as I say, I think, you know, we do need to come back and we need to show that we can put in a performance that will give us, you know, will give us a result. And at the moment, we seem to be doing as well away from home as we do at home. So hopefully, we can change the way we play in terms of effort, at least, even if we can't get rid of the diamond.
Yeah,
but we'll ask about that at the press conference on Thursday. Is that, you know, why are we so wedded to a diamond that doesn't always work, and why are we late to change it? But it'd be interesting to see.
That'll be an interesting press conference. I bet you don't get a straight answer for that one, Tim.
Well, actually, to be fair to Joe, he doesn't give the dairy kind of I'm not going to tell you anything kind of thing. So, you know, he might get upset about it, but it's a valid question to ask, because it's what everyone else is asking. Mm-hmm. So we shall see. What do you reckon the chances are of a good result, preferably a win?
We usually do quite well at Carlisle, actually.
Medialito hat trick last
year. Yeah, Medialito.
Anything's possible.
Medialito scoring is a miracle. But yeah, we usually do quite well up at Carlisle. We don't have a bad little record up there in recent seasons. So whether it'll continue on, the difference is I think Carlisle are in a bit of form at the moment and are probably looking for a late charge for the playoffs themselves. You know, they've probably definitely got a chance of getting there. So it's going to be a tough test, but, you know, we've got Jarbo's going back as well. You know, it's Jarbo's old club, so yep, he might pop up with a goal. So a point, I'd be happy with a point from Saturday, I think.
It must be difficult to probably get some motivation with nothing left on the season, really nothing riding on it. But I guess coming back from a defeat, that's how you can do it, into a get but, a result for the fans straight after a defeat. That's motivation.
And also there should be something in it, because they've either got to renew their contracts for next year or they've got to get a decent club to play for next year. So you'd think they'd want to be, the players are going to still be motivated, even though there's not a great deal to play for from a club perspective. But we shall see. So hopefully a better performance next week, and we might struggle to talk about it because we won't have seen it, but I'm sure we'll talk about it anyway. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city, there's a village green.
So an interesting week for Histon. They played Godmanchester on Wednesday, wasn't it? and it was a result that obviously meant a massive amount. You should have heard the celebrating in the changing rooms afterwards. I think Godmanchester were a bit worried that the walls would come down. They were banging on them that hard. But it was a strange game. It wasn't a massively entertaining footballing spectacle necessarily, but it was a great result. Mark and I were both down there, and I think, you know, it kind of had a bit of everything, didn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it's not for a long while been a derby of ours, but I guess you could consider it a local derby once more, and it had all the kind of traits of a derby game. It was a little bit scrappy at times, a lot of effort, a lot of crunching tackles, and it was just a very tight game as well, which again is typical of a derby game. And yeah, I think also there was it kind of the previous that had gone on between the two teams, especially in the cup game in the league. I think it was just last year now. I think that added to the spice of the game a little bit as well.
It was certainly niggly and a bit moany at times, but I mean, they came. You made it about 15 minutes into the game, didn't you? I mean, they came out. Histon came out incredibly strongly, and I think for the first 20-25 minutes, I don't think, you know, Godmanchester probably got it out of their own half, possibly once, possibly twice, and certainly never threatened anything. Unfortunately, we missed a penalty. From where I was, it didn't look to be a fantastic penalty, and I think it hit the keeper rather than the keeper saving it, but I might be wrong about that given the reaction people were talking about Sam's save, the save, but it to me looked a little bit like he'd hit it fairly much straight at him. It took the wind out of the sails a little bit, but still Godmanchester never looked to be threatening. And then came the game-defining moment, really. There was a tackle. It was a little late. Max York, a little late. But it was definitely a foul and probably a yellow card. Mm. But, I mean, even the assistant referee questioned about it later on. Didn't seem to think it was actually a sending off. And it's one of those ones where I've certainly seen far worse challenges not getting a red card. But it absolutely changed the face of the game. Unfortunately, it came towards the end of the half, so it didn't have so much of an impact in the first half. But in the second half, it really took it to completely the opposite of the first half, where really Godmanchester were applying the vast majority of the pressure. Mm-hmm. And the goal that Histon got was almost against the run of play in the second half, and then the last 30 minutes were frantic defending. That's some very good defending,
I thought.
And I think that's what they would, if you know, that's what you come away most pleased as a team, that you were down a player for the vast majority of the game, you score and then manage to hang on to that lead, and they were, you know, they were definitely pumped at the end of the game. There was a lot of interesting reaction, I think, at the end of the game.
We talked about, you know, the run-up to the game, that we'd had a two-week layoff, and you know, that they're probably going to be tired legs out there, and certainly the pitch was probably going to be heavy. You know, it's nicknamed the farm for a number of reasons, and I think certainly it was very aptly named that for Wednesday. Parts of the pitch, you know, you could have been growing your veg in. So to be honest, the commitment, the desire and the grit and determination that the whole side showed was fantastic, and played a massive part in us getting that win. It was always going to be difficult when Max was sent off, and we just kind of had to stay compact and resolute and do our best to get bodies on the line. And I thought actually for the majority of the game we did that. There was once or twice that they slipped through and you know, possibly could have scored, but you're going to get that when you're a man down and up against it. I guess the one thing that kind of plays in our favour in that situation is that we do have pace up front and either side of the wing, and you know, Danny Gould and Tommy Wright and Ed Rolfe, and even actually Matt Hayden, who you know, probably you wouldn't regard his pace as one of the strongest sort of assets of his game, but even he put in a shift, and I think that's kind of what helped us keep them on their toes as well, because whenever we got the ball and had possession, we were able to hit them on the counter pretty well, and a number of times actually we could have snuck one in as well from, like I say, counter attacking play, but I think in, you know, reality it was always going to be one of those half chances where, you know, we thought, could we nick something from a set piece, you know, or one of the few chances that we fashioned, and we did, luckily enough. Lee Smith delivered a fantastic ball into the box from a corner, and Ed Rolfe does what Ed Rolfe does best, and got on the end of it, and has notched probably close, he must be getting close to 20 goals for the season now, and like you say, we defended very well for probably the rest of the 25-30 minutes that that we had to see out. And yeah, it was a thoroughly pleasing win. They're a very good side, going Manchester. They've managed to accrue a lot of former players that played a part in their I think title winning squad a few years ago, and another time where they came second or third. So that was a big scalp, and it was one of the biggest hurdles I think we had left of the season remaining. And it certainly has put us in good stead to chase that third place down to the end of the season, and it means that we now sort of stay on the coattails of Stowmarket, and we're not far off playing them now. So if we can stay in touch with them when it comes to us going to their place, then like I say, it's probably going to go down to the wire.
And I think that result must have made, I mean, you then followed up this weekend with going down to Lowestoft to play Kirkley and Pakefield. A game that really, you know, 14th in the league as they were, I found that they may have even been 15th. No, they were 14th, I think, when it started. Kind of on paper, you'd have thought that should have been an easy game, and turns out to be a nil all draw. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think it was Stowmarket won 3-0 as well. So they've moved back above you, although, and they've got games in hand. But there seems to be a definite kind of gap. Godmanchester have got 4 games in hand over Histon, and they're only 10 points behind. So in theory, they could move all the way up. Mm-hmm. But really, Brantham have played a game more, and they're now 6 points back. Stanway have only played 1 game less, and they're 13 points back. So there seems to be a bit of a gap opening up with Godmanchester, Histon, Stowmarket, Coggeshall, and Felixstowe. Felixstowe and Coggeshall still far enough clear, probably to come first and second. So it's really going to be down to Stowmarket, Histon, and Godmanchester. You've got Stowmarket to play, and as you say, getting that result against Godmanchester was a real 6-pointer for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I reckon fourth is ours now, certainly to lose anyway. Like you say, Manchester got 4 games in hand, but I think I saw somewhere now where because they've had so many fixtures postponed, they're now going to be creeping well beyond the end of the season to get their fixtures completed. So, and we've got points on the board as well, so I'd certainly back us to stay above them now until the end of the season. But like I said, it's now a matter of whether we can keep up with Stowmarket. And although unfortunately we didn't get the win yesterday, actually I think it's a pretty solid draw, because it was horrible conditions to go there. It's on the coast at Lowestoft, so it would have been very cold, very breezy. And actually, although they're firmly cemented in mid table, they're on a good run.
Yeah, they are.
In the form table, just looking here now, I think they're sixth or seventh, and they've only lost once in their last 6. So yeah, actually, yeah, that I think that's a solid point, and it's another clean sheet as well. Which, okay, I suppose goal difference is probably out the window now compared to the top 3 teams, but even still, it kind of cements that consistency, and it builds confidence, especially amongst the back 4 and the keeper. So I think that's a solid point, and hopefully now, like I say, we can keep pace of Stowmarket, and when we go to theirs, and I think it's 3 or 4 weeks time, you know, we get a win there, and who knows, I think it's certainly going to go down to the wire though.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see if we can get hold of Lance. I'll say you may not have responded to my text, unfortunately. I said my phone isn't working at the moment, so let's at least see if he answers the phone, and we'll have a quick chat with him before we then move on to City. So it's always a good sign that it rings. And hey, Lance, how you doing?
I'll get back to you shortly.
Oh, no. He'll get back to us shortly, because that was his voicemail. So we won't be talking to Lance, unfortunately. But I did speak to him midweek, and he was there. I mean, they were, you know, absolutely made up by that result. I think he was talking about character after the game, and the spirit that it was played in. So all credit to them. So coming up this next Saturday, because you're not at the stage where you're playing Wednesday Thursday and Saturday, which is what City are going to have to do. Well, they play Mondays and Saturdays. It's Thetford Town at home next week. And again, Thetford down in the bottom. So they're not in the bottom, are they? 26. They're actually in the middle, 13th place, having won 16, drawn 5 and lost 16. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they come back from that and a home game and hopefully get back to 3 points and start to really cement that third place or fourth place. We still obviously have to wait and see what fourth place means, but you'd be disappointed if fourth place doesn't mean at least some kind of chance of getting up, but we don't know that one as yet. So
still a mystery.
We'll see what that is. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we will talk about City.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association. Promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, Steve, how are you doing?
All right, yeah, not too
bad. Sorry, it's taken so long to get to you. We've been so tied up with Histon's two games. So you actually played this week, which is always cool. Although it did look in doubt even on the morning. There was a late pitch inspection on Saturday, but a 2-1 win away at Uxbridge, and you must be relieved, A, to play, and B, to get to continue the winning form.
Absolutely, yeah, on both fronts. I mean, I went down in hope, you know. In fact, it's funny because actually the pitch was perfect. There wasn't even any really snow on it. It was like snow flurries, like there was through much of the south. But it didn't really settle in Uxbridge. But going down, I was really doubtful because Hanwell was off, which only up the road, and you know it was kind of 50-50, some games on, some games off. But in fairness to Uxbridge, the pitch was really good. Certainly one of the better ones we played on for months, given all the weather. And it's a nice little setup there, and they were friendly, and the ground staff had done a good job. So delighted to get it on, and delighted with the win. I thought we were good for most of the game, and a very important 3 points. But what was pleasing is obviously to keep that winning run going, and you know, it's kind of really getting tight now towards the business end. I think we've still got these games in hand, which we will obviously pick up on, but. You know, it's kind of almost back in our hands now. There were two or three teams drop points ahead of us like yesterday, so it was a really good day in that sense. I mean, I've always said we've got to kind of worry about our own results, but it is nice when you go home and you see that, you know, two or three of your rivals have drawn games. So that was good. So I think performance-wise was really good, and what was pleasing was the strength in depth now. We had almost a fully fit squad. We had five really good subs on the bench. You know, sometimes we have to list, you know, perhaps a reserve player or a youth team player or even some of the coaching staff, you know, to make up numbers. This was a good, strong squad yesterday, and it made the difference. You know, we took the lead early, we scored a good goal, we started brightly. A typical goal from us, really, with Sharman header. Another one, you know, just absolutely what we've seen all season, really good header. And, you know, we played well the first half, but we didn't really create, and it was the final ball let us down. I thought we were kind of, you know, got in some good positions and didn't quite get the final ball. So it wasn't actually testing their goalkeeper as much as I would have liked. And, you know, for all our possession, I thought we might regret not testing them in the first half as much, even though we were well up. And credit to Uxbridge, they came back and you know, they had the win second half as well. So we were always going to be pegged back a little bit more. And it's got a good equaliser. But the reason I mentioned the bench is because after they scored, Robbie brought on, you know, three players that were very, very good: Jack Vasey, Salim, and Benzema Moshav. And he just changed the system slightly. He swapped Tanner into the middle. I thought we got a foothold in the game again, and we were brilliant after that. And the last 20 minutes, I thought we were, you know, created chances and deservedly got that winner. And the best thing for me, I missed last week, and new signing Nathan Addy. Everyone was raving about him last week. I missed the game. I can see why. He was absolutely phenomenal. He's an unbelievable signing. I can't speak highly enough of him. I think how we've got him is unbelievable. He was head and shoulders above everybody else on the pitch again, and he got the winner. And it was a great goal, and he's a superb signing. I think having him in the team, he's that good that you know, I don't want to heap pressure on him, but he's that good. It will make us even better. And I think the squad now, you know, with the players I mentioned coming off the bench, and there's two more in there as well. If everyone stays fit, we've got no reason not to at least make the playoffs. I think that, you know, with a full squad, we're a good side. It showed in the last 20 minutes. I thought we were very good, and we deservedly got that goal. Could have had a couple more as well, and I thought it was a good win. And it was a tough place to go in tough conditions. So absolutely delighted with that, and full credit to the team.
And certainly Robin Eitinger was talking about the quality of the signing, Nelson Addy, who was only added just before last week's game. And again, as you say, raving about him after, they were raving about him after the game. And it does seem this. So the match report shows that he was a standout player again this week.
He's just brilliant. You know, he I've never seen a player who dictates the play from midfield so much at our level. I mean, you know, he's athletic. He's got the physique to get up and down the pitch. You know, he's tracking back. He's winning. He's bullying players off the ball to win it back. You know, his physique. He's an real athlete. But it's the fact he gets on the ball. He looks sort of two footed, which you don't get very much at this level at all. He can mix the passing between short and long. He's completely and utterly dictates the pace and moves the ball quickly how we like. His vision was good. There aren't enough words to describe how good he was. I couldn't believe it. He could easily play at least a league higher, if not more. He really did stand out. You don't get that very often in our league. You get players that come in and look quite good and then they go off the ball. But you know, everyone last week who went said he was like that. And he added a goal to his game this week, and he deserved it. It was a great goal. He's bombed on. He's won the ball. And I think it's Hall, he's flicked it, back-heeled it, actually. It was a really good setup, and he's bombed on from midfield, and he's through one-on-one, and okay, you'd expect him to score, but it was the composure to really sort of hit it, and it was a great finish. And, you know, he just, number of touches that he got, everything went through him, and it just completely dominated the midfield for us, which we hadn't had for some time, and I was very, very impressed. I think, obviously, people in the team last week said the same thing, but it's a good, you know, we did it against the bottom of the league, and you might expect it. He's done it against, you know, reasonable side in Uxbridge. And, you know, I'm amazed. I think it's a real coup. And I think he's a good, good player. And, you know, when you've got that quality, he can help push us on in the busy period, because there's no doubt he's a good addition. I think I was very, very impressed. And so if he adds goals to his game like that, you know, then that's the difference. He's won us 2 points there by turning a draw into a win. But it was a team performance. I thought the subs, you were excellent, and that was the most pleasing part, was, you know, our strength and depth. Now Robbie's always said he's got a good group, but we've always had a sort of bitty, you know, few niggling injuries. We've never had a full squad at the same time. We've got that now, and I think as long as they do stay fit, I think this team as a group could be frightening for some teams, you know, particularly in the running, because the way they play and the way they ended that game was really, really good. So very, very pleased to get it on, very pleased we won. And you know, I don't want to get carried away. It's a long way to go, but it does bode well. You know, if we win our games in hand, we're right in the thick of it. And, you know, there's still a lot of football to play. There's teams playing each other all the time. You know, so teams will drop points. If we look after ourselves, we'll be in that mix. And then it's just a case of where we end up, you know, will be where we deserve to finish. But I think, you know, we've got to be eyeing that playoff spot now. There's no reason. Just because we're outside of it now, there's absolutely no way we should be thinking we're not going to get it. We've got every chance, and even if we get a bit lucky and hit a real hot streak, you know, it's not beyond, you know, chasing tops. While it's mathematically possible, we've got to chase as hard as we can. But it was a really good performance yesterday, and I thought it was a good day out and a good win.
Excellent. Ooh, so I'll try the right microphone next time. Thanks very much for joining us, Steve. We'll see if we can get hold of Robbie and we'll just have a quick chat with him. But thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers, then.
Cheers.
Bye. Okay, so let's just try and see if we can get hold of Robbie. Let's try pressing that right button there, and we'll see if we can get hold of Robbie just to have a chat with him. And if we can, then we'll finish off, obviously, with the women's football after that. Hey, Robbie, how you doing?
I'm very well, yourself?
Excellent, thanks very much. Great to join us, thanks. I mean, the game was in doubt up until about 11 o'clock in the morning, but a great result for you, and your recent strengthening of the squad is really showing great promise, and people are raving about Nelson Addy.
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, before we left yesterday, I was driving down the A1 thinking, yeah, it's going to be one of those where you get there and it's going to be 3 inches of snow on it and it's going to be off, but you know, they did a wonderful job on the pitch. It was a fantastic surface for this time of year. It's probably one of the best pitches we've played on, and all season. So, credit to Uxbridge for that. And then, Ebby's, like I said last week, he's a real talent, and he's somebody that I feel can take our to the next level, performance wise. He's so composed on the ball. He uses it so well. He's got good variation in his passing, and he's got such energy that he for 90 minutes he's up and down. He's that link from midfield to attack, and those that saw his goal yesterday, it was a great little bit of skill to sidestep the defender and show the composure to score the goal he did. Was fantastic. And we're really lucky as a club to have got him, to be honest. This is a guy that's played Football League. He's played in the Conference. He's played in the Conference South and North. So, we're really lucky to have him. And we're pleased he's decided to come and play for us.
And it's kept you well in for the run-in at the end of the season. And it's Monday, you're back in cup action in the postponed semi-final of the Cambridge Invitational Cup against a United development team.
Yeah, it's, as I say, like, having a bench that we had yesterday was fantastic. Any one of the five could start the game, no question. And to bring three on at 70 minutes when we're just losing our way a little bit, and for them to put in the performance it did, showed the strength that we've got in depth now. And, that's what we want. We want people coming off the bench, hungry to improve the team and hungry to get back in the 11. And, we've got 11 cup finals now. And it bodes really well. We've got another game tomorrow against the development team. And, it's an opportunity for those five subs to play and put in performances to then try and get in the team for Saturday. So competition is such an important thing at our level. And, we're really looking forward to another game tomorrow where we can hopefully try and keep the momentum of the last two games going.
Excellent. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Robbie. We'll chat to you again next week. Cheers.
No problem.
So we are running short of time, but just to update you, in the women's football, Cambridge United women beat Newmarket Town Ladies in the one of the cup games. I think it's the Plate Cup or it might be the Invitational Cup. I'm not sure which one. They're now going to meet Cambridge City Ladies in the final. And we've got Cambridge City Ladies. They beat March Town Ladies 2-1, originally going down 1-0, but ended up winning 2-1. And then finally, Histon Ladies, Abby Davis got two, and Sophie Lanham got one in a 3-1 win against Ipswich Town Ladies development team. So lots of success for today for the women. So thanks very much to everyone for joining us. Do stay around. It's Sweet Revenge with Beck and Chris coming on after this. And then, following that, we've got Let the Good Times Roll, Rebel Arts Radio, Stagger, and then finish off the day with Bookmark. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Cambridge 105 Radio.